This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
It's Mike Shope.
Astros.
And the Bulldog.
Marsha standing there like Davy Jones of the Monkees. He's got a pillow. He's smothering a kitten.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Wow. No idea.
Wow.
No idea.
I'm not sure what was just said actually happened.
What kind of picture I was trying to paint there. I don't know what was happening.
All right, we've got a lot, as usual, this summer. Ironic. Not as much with the actual games, but a lot of news. We'll see what happens with college football. Too bad UB is not going to happen. We know that now. I mean, it's just sort of another round of this story, this COVID-19 story, just being so complicated and so troubling, as you have all the reasons that there are for everybody to stay inside, stay safe, right? No mask or wear masks and take all these precautions. And then you have the effects and the ramifications of doing that, you know, that go beyond health. And here we are headed toward September and fall sports, and we know no Division III fall sports, no Division II fall sports, no college football, at least in some or most of the country. We'll see what it ends up at. With the pros, they're getting it done. Hockey is getting it done in the bubble. Baseball is trudging along here. Seven-inning games, teams that have played far fewer than other teams, and locally, next, the Buffalo-Toronto Blue Jays, as of tomorrow. So here we are, the weekend goes by and I feel like I've just missed a ton. I don't pay attention to sports always on Saturdays and Sundays and like, oh wait, UB, that happened, the MAC. And then today with the Big Ten and Pac-12 reportedly expected to not play, just massive stuff.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know, does it even need to be said? I mean, just how so much of it feels like it would have, I'd love to know how avoidable all of this is.
Yeah.
You know, to what extent, if we'd had some sort of unifying, recognizing there's always going to be outliers and whatnot, but if we'd had a more cohesive response to this thing to begin with in the spring, like a lot of other countries have had, maybe we're not talking about college football needing to be canceled, and we're not talking about the Buffalo Blue Jays and, you know, all of this. But, you know, so be it. I mean, here we are. We live in this country, and this is our lot. So, I'm getting – With this college football news, like I don't want to misrepresent myself at all here. I'm not a huge college football fan, but you know, I watch on Saturdays. When my kids were more like your kids' age now, Mike, I watched a lot more than I will now. because I'm just not as locked down in the house on, you know, Saturdays in the fall and winter as I was when the kids were little. As I say, we never went anywhere, but, like, you'd go out and do what you got to do, and then there'd be a lot of home time. You know, it was naps and all that stuff, and that was prime college football watching. So, like, it's not that it will be devastating to me to not have it on TV necessarily, but it is devastating to me to consider the ramifications of it. I mean, it's just, it's massive what it represents. If it comes to pass that none of the big schools play or none of the big leagues play, and it feels like that's the direction we're heading, I don't think I'm misreading the situation. I mean, that's where it feels like we're going. And back in March and April, when we were just starting out on this road and quarantining like we were, I would have never thought that there would be this much trouble in the summer, still at the end of summer. And, here we are. And I'm getting more bummed out about it than even stands to reason because of, you know, me not being the biggest college football fan. I just think what it represents really depresses me. That we couldn't get a handle on this thing cohesively in any way in this country. And it's very, very upsetting to me.
With lockdown and with quarantine and with the borders closed still.
Yeah. Like I feel like a lot of people have done their level best to try to make this work and try to, get in a better place so that, businesses could reopen and whatnot. And I feel kind of let down by people who haven't done that, whether that's people here, although, I don't think we've got much of a problem right now here. But because it's still so rampant around the country, we could end up with a problem. Who knows how it starts, but it just feels like unnecessary to me. I just think we could have been better than this collectively, the whole nation. And it's very upsetting.
Yeah. I agree with the sentiment, and you and I agree on a lot of this stuff, but I do sort of feel sometimes like I read about other countries, especially Australia, New Zealand, those are different situations too. New Zealand, I guess, is like perfect. No cases for weeks or months and like amazing. Once in a while you scroll Twitter and you see credit for that. It's just such a different country though. It's such a different everything.
Yeah.
Culturally, size, island nation factor. I mean, this is a big country. I know how trite this sounds. It's a big country with all kinds of different lifestyles and all kinds of different everything. And so is it surprising that, it's frustrating and disappointing when it's so often political. It doesn't always have to be political.
Yeah, right.
But it's just, it's America. And we need to go back to work. We need all these things. We need, I don't know. I'm not trying to make a speech. It's just, it wasn't to me quite the same way in the beginning. So like surprising to think we might not get football or college football, because that was some of what I remember reading back in March and April was, 12 to 18 months. And, this is just not, this is sports within that, but we talk about the NHL and the Sabres, and the Sabres are going to reveal another new jersey tomorrow. And it's a, it's a big occasion. Like, fans get into that, and I'm one of them. I care about it. I can't really figure out if they're going to play, though. And I don't know how you do figure that out, but it's a part of the story. It's a part of the conversation is, will they get to use these jerseys, next year, at least? Eventually, you'd like to think so. But it's close, maybe. And when would you have been able to start planning for that, March or April, when they were still not yet having canceled this season's games, the remainder of this season? And still, how to get people in there to I don't know.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Does the NHL bother? Does the NHL bother Bulldog to have a regular season if fans are not allowed in?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it seems to me like, you know, they're proving that you can pull it off, at least in this bubble format. But if things are still unstable enough that you can't have fans, what does that mean to the participants, right? Like, can you safely travel around the country like baseball has been doing, playing hockey, you know, in you know, every city and every region that has a team? Like, is that going to work? Or, you know, maybe you have to adopt what baseball has eventually gotten to here, which is, well, sure, you're going to travel to go play the Minnesota Wild, but you're not going out anywhere. Like, everything's going to be brought to you in the hotel, and, like, you're in ostensibly a bubble that extends to an airplane, an airport, and a hotel on the road. But that's the extent of your leaving. I mean, for a long, long season that's supposed to run 5, 6, 7 months, boy, that seems like a lot to grind through for the players. I don't know. It's a lot. And you're right. It is a big country. It's why I couched what I said. Like, I'd love to know if we'd had a better, more cohesive response, what would be happening right now? Because, you know, there are, I think, challenges that other countries, smaller countries, don't have to deal with that you've got in this country. So it is that's I wanted to make sure and reemphasize that, so it doesn't sound like I'm talking like I'm certain things would be different. I mean, I don't think you can know. You might feel like, you know, it would be different, but, you know, without having lived it, I mean, I don't know. So yeah, all these sports, I mean, I just what happens to college athletics if they, you know, if these athletic programs go a year? Didn't Wisconsin say they're losing $60 or $70 million because they're not going to play football? Like, what does that mean to athletic budgets at universities across the country? Not just for football on TV, but for, you know, the other sports that money helps to support. There's just a lot to unpack there, which again is why, like, to me, even though I'm not the biggest college football fan per se, that this is I'm feeling it today more than I guess I would have expected, just because the ramifications, I think, could be so far reaching.
Well, life this summer, it has put under the microscope, like, where the New York State day-to-day living for me, it's like you're more aware of living in New York State than maybe the country or, I don't know, like a town. I want to make a certain point because of how rules and laws and changes that have come around, that have gone on, have been related to the situation in New York State. I mean, some of the things that we're dealing with are not things I probably ever thought about. You know, well, you can't go to that state, because if you go to that state, if you go west, if you go to, is Ohio on the list? I don't know if Ohio's on the list. Pennsylvania isn't.
I think Ohio is on the list, and then, yeah, like
Indiana, whatever.
I'm Wednesday, I'm driving through, you know, Pennsylvania, like you said, I don't think is on the list, but Ohio, Indiana, Illinois, Wisconsin, they're all on the list right now.
So you go that way, to turn around, to come home means quarantine. To go east, you know, doesn't. To go to Massachusetts or New Hampshire, Vermont, Maine, does not. So we're talking about a trip, or we've planned one, and, like, that is majorly relevant. You know, you can't go that way. Like, that's closed, in a sense. Mm-hmm. And just all the ways that the laws have changed and different mandates and such, like New York State. And there's a sign on the Youngman that says New York tough. Like, we are New York tough. Wear a mask or something. I'm like, New York tough. What am I in, like, Lethal Weapon? Am I in the city? Am I in the Bronx? Like, New York tough. But yeah, all right, sure. I've just never identified with it. You know, we identify with Buffalo.
Yeah.
We identify with America. I don't know. I don't hardly ever remember identifying with New York.
No, I identify with Ontario more than I identify with, like, New York.
New York tough. How cool. I'm New York tough.
Yeah.
Didn't know it. I do want the Rangers to not win the lottery, though. The Rangers are the team I'm against the most. Maybe they'll win and we can talk about, we can explore it, but they're the team. New York, I know, but just, it's new, this idea that I'm supposed to identify with New York. I really don't want to. Well, I mean, I don't want to say that. I like a lot about New York, but it's just like, it's a different world, right?
Yeah, oh yeah. No, I had this conversation, Leo, out of nowhere, I don't know, boredom? Like, for folks who don't know, I mean, we talk about Owen all the time because he's playing hockey, and like that's a, you know, that is of some interest topically for us to talk about. Leo plays the guitar and does not care at all about sports whatsoever. He decided he liked the Rangers just, I think, for something to do on a lark during the, you know, during the play, and like they were the first team out. So we talked about it. Because it came to my wife and I's my attention at the same time, and I'm like, well, New York, and she said, well, what do you think about that? I'm like, I don't like the Rangers at all. I don't like New York anything. She's like, why? I'm like, because it's New York. Like, they look down at the rest of the state. That's how I've always perceived it, and I've still got enough of an inferiority complex about being from here and living here that I don't like it. You know, I just don't.
I don't like it.
I don't like it. I the time I spent in that part of the country was important for me, but it's not for me. It's a lot that represents what I don't like about our country, which is, look out, I'm coming through, is what New York feels to me. Like just get out of my way. I'm getting to the top of the mountain. If I can make it there, I can make it anywhere, blah, 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 blah. And like, is that a stereotype? Yes. Are stereotypes wrong? Often? Yes. But New York just feels like that to me. Their sports teams, you know, are just, you know, oh, the Yankees and all this pageantry and all this, like, oh, screw you. Just, I got no time for it. It makes me nuts. So I don't have any warm feelings for the Rangers either, but the Penguins and the Leafs outrank them to me in this like anger factor with this lottery tonight. But
well, it's coming up at 6, and we'll see. We'll just sort of do it live here, not broadcast it, but watch it and describe what we see. I don't know how it might be different, or I guess we did have the lottery a month ago or so when the Sabres got the 8th pick, so we saw how that looked. But anyway, we'll be on for it and tell you how it goes, assuming they could wrap it up in an hour, which hopefully they should be able to do.
I think it's a half hour show on on NBCSN, so it should, you know, and they only have one reveal, right? There's nothing else to do here. Not like you gotta, you know, go start counting down from 8 or whatever they did with the original lottery.
Right.
This is one reveal. That's it.
So, one team.
Right.
Will they show teams that didn't win? Is that how you fill a half an hour? All right. Winnipeg, not you. You can go back to work. I don't know. Well, that's what I mean. We'll describe it here as it goes on in just about 35 minutes. Quick baseball news. The Cardinals are still not playing. They had last week wiped out positive tests with players. They had a 3-game series tonight through Wednesday with Pittsburgh postponed. And then a makeup doubleheader with Detroit on Thursday. That has now been postponed also. So the Cardinals will not play again until at least Friday, and there'll just be some kind of an announcement on them during the week. But by Thursday, they won't have played through Thursday. By Thursday, I think some teams will have played maybe 20 games, and St. Louis is at 5. And so that's not just going to be only doubleheaders the rest of the season, right?
Like, right.
Do they get to 60? Maybe they don't.
Yeah.
So that's in just in the last few minutes. They won't be playing those Detroit games on Thursday either. 803-0550 is our number. We will talk. We'll have this lottery for you at 6. Sabre jerseys tomorrow, and so we'll talk about that. Joe is having fun with a poster that the Sabres tweeted. It's got a lot of trivia on it. So we have that. And I got to tell you about the thing I did that I haven't done in a long time. I still have not mentioned that. And I got to do it when I get home. I don't want to make it sound like it's so incredible. It's just, it's embarrassing. There's a hint.
Okay.
Having not done this for a decade is embarrassing.
I think I would take embarrassing over incredible. at this point with this thing. So
you'd settle for embarrassing?
I would settle for embarrassing. I might tell you I'd rather it be something embarrassing, than something incredible.
Definitely. That's the only reason I bring it up.
Right.
Can't you feel wait. Like I've hyped it so much.
There's a lot of hype surrounding this.
There's
thing.
A lot of hype. Yes, that's just, you know, an accident mostly. Mike Schoaf and the Bulldog here with Sneaky Joe. This is WGR.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
What's up, Blue Jays fans? We're going to check out the field here in Buffalo. See how they worked really hard on it. We're going to check it out, see how it is. Nice and sunny here in Buffalo.
Wow. This is amazing. They did an awesome job here.
Welcome, Buffalo.
That is Nate Pearson on a video tweeted out by the Blue Jays recently today. Pearson walking up the tunnel out onto the field at Salem Field. The Blue Jays play there tomorrow night, 6:37 against Miami. They have Tampa in... Let me go back. We have Tampa in this weekend. Then the Jays are away until next Thursday when they squeeze in a makeup doubleheader with Philadelphia. They have two of those. They have two makeup doubleheaders with the Phillies, one in August, one in September, and each of them are scheduled to be one team is the home team once and the other team is the home team in the other game. Why it isn't like... Well, actually, you know what? I might be wrong about that.
So do they change clothes? I think
now that I'm wrong about that, I think I might have misread that. Remember the Yankees at the the Phillies. Last week, they were the home team in one game and the road team in the other, but they did not change uniforms. They didn't want to take two sets of uniforms.
Right, okay. Right.
I think maybe one of the doubleheaders is like that. Anyway, it's not important. So next Thursday, doubleheader with the Phillies. Then the following week, a homestand, Boston and Baltimore. The Yankees and Mets are the opponents at Salem Field the week leading up to the Bills opener. So that week will be, not that anything isn't, unusual this year.
Right, yeah.
And so just to finish it, then they have another makeup doubleheader with the Phillies after that, the Friday the following week. And then a whole week of games, it'll be leading into week 3 on the Bills schedule, September 21st through the 27th, a whole week of games, 4 with the Yankees and 3 with Baltimore, and that is it. It is what, Bulldog? 8 teams per league make it this year? Is that what they did? 1 through 8 per league? I think they did.
Okay. Yeah.
Toronto is 5-8. They lost... walk-off maybe to Boston yesterday. 3.5 out of first. The Yankees are probably too good. Tampa's supposed to be good. They're 8-8. Who knows this year? But you're certainly not dead at 5-8, but it's not a good record. They had a long break of their own in there, you know, when they lost those Phillies games and then they went to Atlanta.
Right. All right.
So here we go. And the stadium looks awesome. Like, if you see the pictures, the before and after pictures, Ben Wagner among those tweeting them. Really amazing. If you've ever been in the, what do they call them, the bowels of the ballpark or the stadium, like a structure like that, you know, it was probably a few years ago for me, but you don't get the sense like this is the big leagues in certain ways,
no.
You know?
Right. Yeah.
It's fine, but I certainly wasn't surprised to hear anybody at the beginning of this process be like, somebody on the team, Grichuk, was quoted as saying, worst case scenario.
Right. We want major league facilities. Right.
You know, and they want it. They tried for that. But yeah. How it looks anyway in these, you know, pictures that they're choosing to share, really cool. Really cool. So.
Yep. Well, I hope the players embrace it and enjoy it. I mean, I don't know what there is to really embrace and enjoy about being here and not really being able to go anywhere. but, you know, do the best you can, I guess. I mean, I don't know. It's you know, for everyone here, it's been a few months unlike any others, and that is obviously going to continue. And, like, these guys, for as pampered as their lives are, this has got to be a very different scenario here. Not being able to go out and, you know, freely spend, like, the money that you're making playing professional baseball. I'm sure they'll get by, but...
Yes, you know, I'm sure they will.
I just wonder what the mood is like on any of these teams, you know? Whether they're in a bubble or not, just how it's all going. Because I think, you know, if you're open-minded to it, I think you can notice things that are like sort of weighing on you, or just you're feeling differently about things than you did before because of all of this. Like, there's just different things I think hit you differently, and I would think even pro athletes would be no different.
So it'll be the first Major League Baseball in Buffalo since 1915, and there were 8 teams in the Federal League. It was the last year of the Federal League. It, I think, would have been the last year of there being a third major league at all. Like, after that, it was ALNL only, and, you know, is to this day. And the Buffalo Blues were in that league. They finished 6th out of 8, 74-78. Not a terrible record. There was one really bad team, Baltimore Terrapins. And I think the Blues played and beat Baltimore. They had a doubleheader for their last games, their last home games, anyway. They finished the season on the road. Hal Chase would have been their biggest star, probably, led the league in homers with 17. Say what you will about that number. 8 teams in the league. The pennant winner, the Chicago Whales, who finished by percentage points, 1 percentage point ahead of the runner-up St. Louis Terriers. I don't believe they had a postseason. They played 152. The Terriers played 154. And the Whales won the pennant by 1/1000th of a point. And then a half game back were the Pittsburgh Rebels, whose manager was named Rebel Oaks.
Wow.
My guess would be they were called the Rebels because the manager's name was Rebel. That's probably what they did.
That's how they named the team.
Maybe. The Blues were also the Buffalo Buffeds. Maybe the year before they were known as that. And that was because they played at Federal Field. And it was the Federal League. Maybe that's why it was called Federal Field. I don't know. That one I don't know. But the Buffeds is what they were called. Buffeds. With a hyphen. Not exactly, you know, the Ice Wolves. What is your team? The New Mexico. we were different 100 years ago in naming teams.
New Mexico Ice Wolves.
Yes, Ice Wolves. I got it.
You did.
Pittsburgh Rebels, Kansas City Packers, Newark Pepper, Buffalo Blues.
Newark Pepper.
Newark Pepper. Love that.
Newark Pepper, Brooklyn Tip Tops, Baltimore Terrapins. 8 teams.
I like Tip Tops and Pepper.
I like Tip Tops.
Those are good team names.
I also like those.
Those should be brought back. I like those names.
The Buffalo Blues went 8-9 against lefties. I don't know if that's
Federal
complete.
Field, we went through this quite a while ago. Is that the field that was down, like, on the west side somewhere, I think?
Maybe.
I remember reading about. Yeah.
I don't remember.
Okay.
I'll look.
Just out of curiosity. Like, I don't know. I just wondering where they played. I know I when the last time we got into this, like the history of baseball in Buffalo, it was news to me that there was ever, like, we know about like Offerman Stadium and then Civic Stadium, which became the Rock Pile, just renamed. And like, I know like Offerman Stadium was over like West Ferry, Michigan, that area. And of course the Rock Pile was on Best and Jefferson, I think. But this other grounds that they had, I think where when they were in the Federal League, was on the Lower West Side, like Hampshire Street, somewhere down there, Fargo, that area, like down, you know, around the Peace Bridge area, I think.
This one, Federal League Park, my jacket says for Federal Field. I'm going to assume that's the same place.
Mm-hmm.
Northland Avenue to the north, Humboldt to the east,
oh.
Ferry to the south,
okay.
DuPont and Jefferson to the west.
All right.
The grounds, this is Wikipedia, the grounds included a horse race track and grandstand. They were part of a fairgrounds property and a bicycle track within the horse race track a few blocks west of the Buffalo Baseball Park. And maybe that's where an Olympic Park, another Buffalo team would have played there, the Bisons in the National League. Okay.
The Newark Pepper, by the way, according to Wikipedia, also played in the 1916 season, the non-existent 1916 season.
They just played scrimmages?
Rupert Mills, their team infielder, had a clause in his 1915 contract that guaranteed him a salary the following year as long as he continued to show up at the park suited and ready to play for the game. Mills fulfilled his contract obligation, coming to an empty park each day and performing a physical workout.
Tremendous.
Wow, is that ever amazing.
So he played. He showed up in his uniform.
How about
by himself
that for us?
Every day.
How about that,
I mean,
for us? Let's say we're off
amazing.
The air. Like that, we're not. We're off the air. It's not like we've been replaced, but it's just off the air. But I might want that in a contract down the road. Like if I still go in, and this guy's performing a physical workout, he's not like running
well,
out
yeah.
to the field and pretending to field ground balls or
well,
something.
Well, maybe. That could be the workout. Maybe he's just running the bases as fast as he can, like 100 times.
I come in here and talk about the Bills to myself for a while. Do I still get money?
This is a retirement plan for me. I mean, I'm working from home now. I mean, I'll just keep – I don't know. Do I need to have the headset?
I don't think you do.
I mean, I could just sit up here in my attic and do this.
You're
I
not
mean,
trying been, to fool anybody.
No.
You're just going through it.
Yeah. I mean, they keep sending checks. I mean, I'll, yeah, whatever. I'll make do.
Yeah, I'll come in and just talk to the wall
right.
for a while and then go home and come back the next day.
Yep.
NFL, Lamar Miller reportedly has signed with New England. 1 year contract. We had LeSean McCoy go to Tampa. Maybe this is the same thing. Lamar Miller is probably better than LeSean McCoy.
It's a fantasy headache, New England, though.
They were already, and they are more of one, aren't they? And
Devonta Freeman remains unsigned.
Devonta Freeman remains unsigned. Washington over the weekend, Joe. Whoa.
Darius Geis cut, yes.
See that, Bulldog?
Yeah, I did see that.
Geis. I have a Geis share. I have a couple of Geis teams, but I have more Gibson teams.
Yeah, Antonio Gibson, I'm falling for, but it might be too late for that. I don't have him anywhere yet.
Yeah, it might be too late because you mean that now he'll be drafted a lot earlier.
I only have two drafts left also. Like I have a redraft league, which, I mean, it's not a very deep league, so he might not even get picked. And then if we do a guillotine league.
Oh,
he
yeah,
could
we,
be a guillotine league option.
We can fix that. If you're sitting there wistfully saying, I only have two drafts left, we can fix that.
Although I've heard NFC
or NFC. Yep.
He only has wide receiver eligibility. I don't like that.
Why would he only have
eligibility? I heard that today.
Antonio Gibson out of Memphis. He had 33 carries in his career at Memphis. He was a JUCO player, but he was drafted ahead of Moss. He was drafted early in the third round, Gibson, by a team that did not have a second round pick. So, I mean, promising. What do you want? I got on board with him in fantasy when, I don't know if Ron Rivera said it or if somebody said it about him.
I think Rivera compared him to McCaffrey.
McCaffrey. And like, you don't have to say a second, you don't have to say a second thing. Like, Rivera was the coach of a team that you know, had Christian McCaffrey break records in fantasy. Like, all right, I'll take a chance. This is the guy that fits the profile on that team. He's a rookie.
Oh, yeah.
And now Geis is out of the way.
Adrian Peterson, though, hanging around.
Adrian Peterson, Bulldog, your favorite. Your
all
favorite
day,
player.
All day AP.
All day. The NHL draft lottery, and such as it is, in a little over 10 minutes, we'll monitor it. Mike Schopen and the Bulldog here with sneaky Joe DiBiase. This is WGR.
I had been fairly upfront for a couple weeks that we were hoping to get the season underway, but as we sat here, we're skeptical if we'd be able to do so based on what we were hearing. The others are wrestling. They may be getting a little different twist on that. I don't know for sure, but we recognize everybody's got their own set of medical advisors. They're listening and working with them, and we'll see where everybody comes out. You know, we've seen different communities and states manage things and react to it in different ways. And that's part of the challenge going forward. You know, we were looking at going into a season. Heck, we had travel advisories. How are you going to work around that?
Right. Dr. John Steinbrecher, MAC commissioner. Ohio is on that list, that quarantine list. That's plenty of the MAC teams are in Ohio. He was on WGR this morning. And you can check that out, radio.com. NHL lottery show starts at 6, 5 minutes from now. There's been a report on how they're going to do it. 8 ping pong balls, says Bob McKenzie of TSN, with team logos. Gary Bettman, as the machine spits one out live, like picks it out of the machine and reveals it, which is kind of the way we want the regular lotteries to go, usually.
Right. Yeah, sounds pretty straightforward.
Yeah. No turning over of cards or a countdown. Well, what time, if your show runs from 6 to 6:30, what time do you do this? 6:25?
You got to leave time for interviews with at least the whoever wins the lottery. I think they should have set up to do like a Zoom call with whoever's hosting this thing. So I think you get welcome. Here's how we got here. Here's some of the top prospects and some highlights. I mean, I don't know. You're really just talking about everyone knows who number one is going to be, but I think they'll probably pretend like they don't. And I think by 6, no later than 6:15, you've got the pick revealed.
Really?
And a commercial break, and then you come back, and it's, hey, we're here with Kyle Dubas of the Toronto Maple Leafs, and I throw something through my TV.
Yeah. I think it's going to be later than that. We'll see.
Okay.
Let's bet on it. All right. I'm up 10.
You are up 10. That's right.
I'll bet the 10. Because I want to be even one way or another. I'll bet the 10 that it's later than 6:15.
Okay.
Do you get the seconds? Joe, does he get the seconds? Does it have to be 6:16 for me to win? I think yes.
I think the 15 should just be a push.
I think the 15 goes all the way to 15:59.
I like that. Sure.
That's okay. I'm willing to offer that. 16 or later.
But all right.
I love
10.
It.
All right.
I love it. So for the first time in probably 10 years yesterday, I went for a bike ride.
Come on.
That
10
was
years?
It?
Yep. Had to be. Has to 10. Be at least 10 years. I don't think I've ever gone for a bike ride in the new house.
Wait, are we separating riding a bike from a bike ride?
No, anywhere. In the driveway. Yeah, anywhere. I don't think I've been on my bike in that long.
Why?
I don't know. There's other things.
The parkway is so nice.
It is nice.
I mean, yeah.
There is a Grand Island bike path that I've heard rave reviews about. It's very long, but
there's the bike path that cuts through the island, but then now there's the trail,
right?
You know, around the West River.
Yeah.
East River is really bad for bikes, but West River's, you know, idyllic. It's windy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Windy.
Sure.
But still gorgeous.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Well, what prompted this spurt of sudden exercising?
I'm so glad you asked. So, next week, we're going camping. And we want to take our bikes.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm like, I better get going. I mean, I've not been on my bike in many years. Right. I better, like, just do a little bit. You're going to take me up into the mountain somewhere. I better be able to ride to Whitehaven and back.
Yeah. How much work did your bike need to get on the road?
No, just some air.
Just some air? That was it?
Yeah. It's been hanging up this whole time.
Yeah. All right.
Pretty good shape. I mean, it's basically untouched.
Yeah. Well, sure.
Everything happens. No one else has been riding it.
The gears work okay?
Oh, the gears were beautiful. They were amazing. Yeah. The gears were amazing.
I'm going to lubricate that stuff a little bit.
They were the greatest gears.
Nothing but the best gears.
Nothing but the best gears around here. I shifted, you know, you turn that little handle when you're riding a bike and it shifts the gears.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful. Yeah. Worked perfectly, I think. I don't know. I don't know how it's supposed to work, but I didn't fall.
So I can continue going on saying it's like riding a bike when you pick something up again for the first time in a long time.
Just like riding a bike,
just
baby.
Like riding a bike, like it that yes. That's confirmed.
Yes.
Riding a bike for you yesterday was just like riding a bike.
It's just like riding a bike. If you're just tuning in, NHL draft lottery coverage begins, and the bet is, will the pick be revealed before 6:16? Stay tuned and find out, and also, who wins? Mike Schopen and the Bulldog here with Sneaky Joe. This is WGR.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.